Blog Talk Radio. Columbine High School. God, that stuff may be so. Every generation of my children and grandchildren have dealt with a school shooting. 23 years, 1999 was the first shooting, and my children were in junior high and high school. My granddaughter just graduated from college. They had to deal with the school shooting. As a little kid, thank you. Middle schooler since high school, now and currently in high school, had to deal with the Florida shooting. And now my baby, who's about to start kindergarten, had to deal with shooting. I don't know. I can't even, I just say Texas shooting, one of numerous. It doesn't make sense. But I know that God wants us to see past the rhetoric, past all the craziness, and pray. I don't care what political party you are. That's between you and God in the ballot box. But I pray that your heart is for God. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you are standing anywhere claiming to be pro-life, caring more about a fetus than you do about a living, breathing, breath of life child, then you need to look at your priorities. I am pro-life. I am just as much against abortion as I am the death penalty. But I also believe that you need safety nets to help our most vulnerable, our children. You need to take care of mothers and children and families and children. You need to care just as much about that baby when God brings the breath of life in it, once it comes out of the womb. That's when you care the most. Because we have too many children dying because we don't care as much about them when they get into this world as we do about them in their mother's womb, which is between them, their mother, and God, and not us. Legislating people's personal business is not our job. Cannot legislate morality. We as members of the body of Christ have got to get off our hinds and start working the work we're called to do, which is to save souls. I can't save your soul if I'm being hateful. I can't help you and lead you to a loving and wonderful Savior as I vilify you. Jesus is love. And he gave us edits just as God gave us edits in the Ten Commandments. The Lord God is said to love him and not to worship anybody else, anything else in the earth or on the sea. We cannot worship people. We worship God. God, we give you glory. We ask to see. We've got to ask to see. God is going to hold us all accountable for our children. Are you teaching your children to love their neighbor regardless of what their neighbor looks like or what their neighbor's personal preference is in a loved one? Because the bottom line is, I can know something is a sin, and I can lead you to Jesus. But if I stand and I vilify and I beat you down. That's not godly love. But the Lord says to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Are you still walking in blindness? Or can you see and give God the glory? For it is God that changes heart. It's God that changes mind. It's God that changes spirit. It's God that leads us home. Are you letting your light shine today? That those that are blind can see God's light in you. Just something to think about as we go into our word today. We're finishing up John chapter 9. We will also be in 1 Kings today, as we are also in John chapter 10. So we'll be in John chapter 9 and chapter 10 on today, as well as 1 Kings. So let's get started in John chapter 9. Father God, we ask you to increase as we decrease, Father. Allow this word to go forth, oh God. Let those that hear it stop and think and say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Or, Father God, give me eyes to see. Give me eyes to see and to discern the good and the bad and the evil. Father God, give me a heart of compassion to others besides myself and my family. Father God, lead me in your righteousness that I may walk with a faithful, loving heart and keep your commandments. Lord, I lift this word up to you, thanking you for leaving us this blueprint, this basic instruction before leaving earth, that we may live a righteous and holy life. Father God, you know I am not perfect, and I have so many things of myself to work on. But I ask you, Lord God, to give me a clean heart and a right spirit within me, that I may love others more than I even love myself. And Lord God, I love you and I want to walk in righteousness. So Father, I ask for you to remove anything not like you from me this month as I study and read your word. I ask you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, I lift up this word this morning, praying that it touches hearts, minds, and spirits. In his name, amen. So let's get into our word this morning. Let's finish up John chapter 9. I haven't made it to the first, second, and third John yet, but just John, the gospel, on chapter 9. And we're talking about the blind man who is able to see now. But he's getting interrogated by the Pharisees. And, you know, again, we're going to go back a little bit in John so that we get it all in. And what it says is, going back to verse 20, it says his parents, now they're going, the Pharisees, Sadducees after his parents. They want to know, how can he see? So his parents ask him, says, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, But the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. We don't give God the glory because we can see. Not because Jesus was a sinner, but because we can now see. So this man, he's like, oh, y'all ain't going to put that in my mouth. He said, he asked and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Hallelujah. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Come on now. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Can you say glory to God this morning? I can see. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in. Are you teaching us? And they cast him out. You know, folks in power don't want to hear the truth. Folks in power, and that's not only the power of the nation, but power of the churches. They don't want to hear the truth. There are some pastors that will lie, cheat, and steal, and I'm going to call it out. And it's all starting to come out. They get so caught up in the world, they forget to preach God. We got to preach God today, and we preach him not from our mouth, but from his word. This man just preached the sermon to the pastors, to the leaders of the church. What did he say? The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from yet. He has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, come on now, this man is preaching this morning. He hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. Come on now. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Cast him out. Don't put him out of the church because he was blind and now he can see. And he gave God the glory. They couldn't handle it. Because, of course, it was done on the Sabbath. What better day to see miracles happen than on the day of the Lord? Come on. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have been seen. You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see. Come on now. That those who see may be made blind. Then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Come on now. We was all blind. We was all blind. But now we see the goodness of God in everything that he does. The Lord loves us. And the Lord keeps us. And the Lord makes his face to shine upon us. God loves us that much. John 10:1-21. It says, now, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold. By the door, but climbs up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Hallelujah. Do you know the voice of the shepherd today? Do you know the voice of Christ? Do you know the voice of our Father? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal. I'm going to read it again. The thief does not come except to steal. The thief does not come except kill. The thief does not come except to destroy. But then Jesus tells us, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Stealing, killing, destroying is not of God. It's of the enemy. If you steal from the widow, if you kill the orphan, if you destroy babies in classrooms, you are a thief. If you think it's all right for children to go hungry, because of the birth, their circumstances of birth, then you are right there with the thief. You are right there with the killer. You are right there with the destroyer. You better understand God sees it all. And Jesus is our lifeblood. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Do you want abundant life this morning? I am, Jesus says it all, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A hireling, he is not the shepherd. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He paid it all for us, his sheep. Jesus died for us, his sheep. Jesus went to the cross for us, his sheep. Hallelujah. Are you in? Are you with the shepherd? The good shepherd who would lay down his life for you. Whew. As Jesus goes on to tell us in his word, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. We are grafted in into his fold. We're not, whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're all one to Christ. I must bring, and they, what does it say? I lay down my life for the sheep, and of the sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. one Jesus. There's only one Son of God. Therefore, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these things. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind? Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? It had never been done before except for Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus screamed out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, and got his sight. This man, born blind, got his sight because he believed and gave God the glory. Are you giving God glory this morning? Are you saying hallelujah? Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another day to worship you. To worship you, I live. And that was Israel and New Britain, as well as the title of our show, Moving Forward. Not going back. Moving ahead. Are we moving ahead today? Are you giving your life to the Lord today? Are you happy to be a child of God? Are you happy to give God glory? Are you happy that you were once blind, but now you can see? Glory to God in the highest. But God gave us sight. And as we go into chapter 10, verses 22 through 42, it says this. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I am my Father of heaven. Then the Jews spoke up, stone again to stone it. Took up stones again to stone it. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father, but which of those do you want to do something? I've not done anything wrong. I've done nothing evil. I've done nothing ugly. I've done nothing but good. No bad. And yet, you want to stone him. You think that you want to stone him because he's good. You want to stone him because he has shown you for the hypocrites that you are. And he says, then the Jews, let's look at it one more time, this word, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. But which of those do you stone me? The Jews answered and said, for good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are God. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of the hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first. And there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no signs, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true. And many believed in him there. Whew, hallelujah. We got to believe. We got to believe in something. And that something is Jesus. We got to believe that he is the Son of God. We got to give glory to God for all that he has done in our life, in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. Are you giving God glory today? We're going to go back over some life lessons from today's word, and it is a rich word. Then we will be in the Old Testament Psalms and Proverbs. And I'm sorry, 1 Kings will be on tomorrow. And then as we go forth, it says this in the life lessons. And when I go to life lessons, they are coming from Dr. Charles Stanley. The Bible that we are reading on our show for this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible Biblical Principles of the Year. And I'm coming out of the New King James Version. And it says this in John 9:24, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. Religious speech often cloaks the darkest of hearts. These leaders wanted the man to speak a vicious lie about God's son, something that far from honoring God would anger and offend him. Give God the glory, but we're going to talk about it soon. But we're going to give God the glory because he once was blind, but now we see. We're going to give God the glory because he has given us sight. We're going to give God the glory because he gave us his son. We're going to lift our hands and praise the Lord today because he gave us another day. He gave us a do-over. Because if you listen to my voice, you got up this morning. Somebody didn't. Somebody didn't get up this morning. Somebody's not going to make it through the day. But we're going to give God the glory and say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for another day. John 9:35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, Jesus sought the man out after he heard what the religious leaders had done to him. He does the same thing with us. He seeks us out, offering us his help and encouragement to walk with God. Can y'all say hallelujah? What a word this is. Now I see is a life example today. He was free, fettered by unseen obstacles, and emancipated from blindness. The man rejoiced because Jesus had healed him, yet the Pharisees could not accept it, and they certainly were not celebrating as they questioned him. The Pharisees became increasingly argumentative. So the man answered them, I told you already. You did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And you know that sent him over the edge. Because he was good. Because he was kind. Because he healed the sick and raised the dead. They couldn't remember it. Because they knew that to say that he was the Son of God would diminish their authority, would diminish their power, would diminish all the stuff they were doing in the name of the Lord. And they knew that many were doing wrong things. And so, of course, they did not want to believe. Of course, they did not want to follow this person from Galilee and Nazareth. Really? Nothing ever came out of Nazareth, you know what they said? But God. And as we go in these voices, perhaps there have been areas of your life greatly affected by your relationship with Christ. Do not be surprised if people have a hard time understanding the ways he has worked because recognizing God's work requires faith. However, your reaction should be like that of the blind man. He was thankful for what Jesus had done, and he was willing to tell people that it was Jesus who had healed his blindness. He was even so bold as to suggest that the Pharisees should want to become disciples as well. Whew. I know they did not like that. You know, we got to understand that God loves us more than we can ever imagine. That's the kind of daddy we got. One that is always there to lift you up and not tear you down, to open doors for you. In John 10:9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is not one of many doors to the Father, but the only door. Can y'all hear me? He is not one of many doors. You hear people say, oh, there's many ways to get to heaven. There's many ways to get to God. No, there is not. There is one, and it is Jesus Christ. One door, one way to get to the Father, and that is through the Son, the door that will open for you when you believe. And it says Jesus is not one of many doors, as Dr. Stanley tells us, to the Father, but the only door. He never claimed to be one route among several to an intimate relationship with God, but instead insisted he was the only way. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If Jesus willingly gave his life to save us, how can we think he would ever keep back from us anything that would truly benefit us? He is the good shepherd, not the stingy shepherd or the tight-fisted shepherd. He is our shepherd, and he loves us. Do you have faith this morning? John 10:17, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. God gave Jesus the authority both to offer his life as a sacrifice for our sins and to rise from the dead in power and great glory. Jesus' death and resurrection were equally planned from eternity. All we got to do, let's go over to Revelation 13:8. Woo, hallelujah, what a word this morning. What a mighty word that God has given us. I'm all excited, y'all. Not trying to preach this morning, but just giving what God has given me, and I'm just filled up because God has let us know how we get there. We get there through Jesus. We get to him through the one door, and that door is our Savior Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I just can't say it enough, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 8. All who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from foundation of the world. And I'm going to go back up a little bit to get it all in context. In verse 5, it says, and he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy. We're talking about the nasty Antichrist right now. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Understand, Jesus' death and resurrection are equally planned for eternity. Is a name in the book because the enemy is coming. Don't ever get it twisted that he's not, because he is and he may even be here. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The enemy is coming. He's coming, and it's called him the beast from the sea. The beast from the sea. No joke. When we get to Revelation, it is nothing to think. It's not a fairy tale. It's going to happen. The question is, are you in the book? I want my name written in the book. I ask you, 10th, I repent, Lord. of anything I've said or done that is against your divine majesty. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God, for my mouth, for the things that I should do and haven't done, for the things that I have done and shouldn't have done. Forgive me, Lord. We got to repent for forgiveness. We got to give our lives to the Father, to the Son, and know who our Savior is. Know who the door is. Are you walking through it today? And if you go into John 10:30, I am my Father, all men. When Jesus used the word I am my Father, he proclaimed a clear distinction in the two divine persons. But in saying they are one, he proclaimed their unity of nature and equality. And his heart and his ears understood his claim. There is only one God, but we know him in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. That's it. One. And as we go to John 10:38, believe the works that you may know and believe. God often acts more like a pragmatist than an idolist. Jesus said it would be best if his audience would believe him. But if they didn't, at least they should believe in the fact of his amazing actions. You know, and I'm looking over here. This is what the Bible says about Hanukkah. And we all know Hanukkah, whereas as our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrate Hanukkah, we celebrate Christmas. But let's go and look at the word that Dr. Stanley, this is our history lesson here, and it says, John 10:22-27, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's Porch. It's one of those details that seems to be as an afterthought. However, it is a great lesson us when we truly look at it. That's because the Feast of Dedication is actually Hanukkah. And there we see that Jesus made the effort to go to the temple to celebrate it, because Hanukkah is part of his heritage. It's part of ours as Christians too, in fact. Hanukkah holds great promise and encouragement for us as believers. The story of Hanukkah actually begins in Daniel chapter 8, verses 8 through 12, and it's continued in Daniel 11, 29 through 32. Here Daniel prophesies that after a great defeat against the south, a brutal ruler will retreat to Israel and take his fury out on the people there. He shall be grieved and return in rage against the Holy Covenant and do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the Holy Covenant, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, that the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Daniel 11:30-32. History shows that Daniel's prophecy came true through the evil man named Artachus, Ephesian, after an Egyptian and Roman coalition trapped him. He did indeed return to Israel. He knew that in order to subjugate the Israelites, he would have to separate them from their God. Because the Lord was their strength and sense of identity. So as Daniel prophesied, Epiphanes eliminated the offerings that forbid the Israelites to circumcise their sons, which struck at the heart of their covenant with God. Genesis 17:10-14. It was a terrible time. From 40,000 to 80,000 Jews were slaughtered, and 40,000 more were sold into slavery. Worst of all, Epiphanes went into the holy temple of God, and he sacrificed a pig on the altar to Zeus. He also destroyed every copy of the Torah he could find, killing whoever was that was hiding it. The persecution started in Jerusalem and quickly spread throughout Israel. Yet in the town of Moses, an old priest named Matthias refused to sacrifice the Epiphany gods along with his son Judas Maccabees. This is the book of the Maccabees. If anybody's ever heard of it, this information is in it. Matthias was able to defeat all Epiphany soldiers. They joined forces with the Hasidim, mighty Orthodox warriors, and went throughout the land, driving out the sinners and tearing down altars to Epiphany gods. God won amazing victories through his little army. As Daniel 11:32 has promised, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Finally, Epiphany got so sick of being defeated by them that he sent half of all his forces, over 65,000 soldiers, against the Maccabees' 10,000-man army. The Israelites prayed, fasted, and cried. Then they sounded the trumpet and gave a shout, and they beat the enemy handily. After that, Maccabees' men fought their way to Jerusalem to address what had been done at the temple. They were heartbroken about what they found there, but they set about cleansing it. They did everything as the law commanded. They consecrated and dedicated the temple to God for 8 days. Now, there was a great miracle that happened during the consecration. In order to have a proper dedication, it was necessary to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from morning to evening, Exodus 27:23-21. However, they only found one unpolluted vessel of oil with the seal of the high priest, which was only enough for one day. Yet miraculously, the one vessel burned all 8 days of the dedication until they could consecrate more. They had been faithful to God, and now he was showing himself faithful to them. Imagine Jesus walking along the colonnade of the same temple that had been reclaimed almost 2 centuries beforehand, thinking about what happened during those 8 days of consecration. And like Maccabees, he was born to vanquish the enemy that had defiled God's people. However, this time the miraculous life would not last for only 8 days. This time Christ was bringing the true light, the light of eternity, to the people. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This time what was being consecrated was not a temple of stones and mortar, but of flesh and blood. The world, like Epiphany, will do everything in its power to separate us from our God, because he is our strength, our identity, our salvation. However, Jesus promises, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." No one can defile what Christ has made clean. And as his people, he has made us undefilable and inextinguishable. Hanukkah is more than a festival of light. It's the celebration of God helping his people when they had lost all hope. That's how we were when we were lost in sin. But now we have the light, and the temple will last forever. Thanking God for the light, which is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as we go to our Psalms this morning, you are filled up, y'all, when I think about how great our God is. In Psalm 68:11-14, the Lord gave the word, come on now. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Kings of armies flee, they flee, and she who remains at home devises war. Though you lie down among the sheepfolds, you will be like the wings of a dove covered with silver, and the feathers will yellow gold when the Almighty scatters kings in it. It was white as snow in Gomer. Thank you, God. And as we continue, a mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with any of you mountains of many peaks? This is a mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them at Sinai in the holy place. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation, Selah, our God is the God of salvation, and to the God the Lord belongs escape from death. And our last psalm for this morning, Psalm 68, verses 21 through 27. We have started with Psalm 68, verse 11, and we will end with 27. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespass. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from their enemies, from your enemies. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before the players on the instrument followed after. Among them were the maidens playing cymbals. Bless God in the congregation, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Now this was Psalm chapter 68, verses 11 through 27, Proverbs 17, starting at verse 7. And it says, excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Whatever, wherever he turns, he prospers. He who covers a transgression speaks less, but he repeats a manner separates men. Ooh, what a word to them. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool of his folly. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. And I have just read Proverbs chapter 17, verses 7 through 15. And a few life lessons coming out of Psalms. The first is Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Can you give glory to God today? Because you can see. We will never know how the Lord loads us with benefits every day of our lives. We take for granted many of his blessings, life, food, shelter, friends, family, clothes. But we should always praise him for who he is. Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord with me this morning? Giving God honor, giving God glory, giving God praise. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his holy and divine name. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Kelly. And the word is from Friday, Saturday, and today. There was no Saturday word, so Friday and today's word is this. And it says, good morning. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hand in everything. Come on now. And then for today, our faith in Jesus sets us apart from what we used to be and makes us new creatures in Christ. Have a spiritual Sunday, family. And before we go, a prayer. I love our little prayer book, 365 Days of Prayer. 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And on Friday, we talked about unmerited favor. And for yesterday, you say, all my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sign is not hidden from you. Confident, you are the best friend I've ever known. You've been with me through it all, through the fiercest storms of my life and the greatest victories. There is no one I trust more than you, and yet I doubt even you at times, who has never proven unworthy. I know that it is a reflection of my own brokenness and not yours. Lord, you faithfully stay with me. You never give the silent treatment I punish me for pulling away your presence. You sit with me patient and loving. When I'm angry, you hear me out. When I'm heartbroken, you move in close, holding me together. When I'm full of joy, you celebrate with me. When I'm goofy, you laugh with me. No matter what, Lord, you are there. You are so reliable. I will not stop sharing the depths of my heart with you. But you have shown how trustworthy you are. And the question is there anything you've been hiding from the Lord? And then our last word for today is lesson, my grip. Do not forget to do good and to share for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:6, the New King James Version. Lord of all, you hold the key to the storehouses of heaven. Every resource, every possibility needed is found in your kingdom. You've got it all. As I live my life, may I not be tight-lipped with what I have. You are so generous. I want to be generous too. Whew. My testimony. Bless to be a blessing. Hallelujah. And not just with money. May I loosen the grip of control over my time, leaving space to share with others who would benefit. May I serve others when I have the chance. And if I don't have the chance, then I'm not looking hard enough. Lord, you know my heart that just wants to stay in my comfortable existence, not doing much that stretches my boundaries. But I know that whatever I do, whether in the realm of my comfort or outside it, when I am doing good and sharing with others, it is reflective of your ways. May I continue to follow in your footsteps. How do you share the goodness of your life with others? Just keep that in mind. That is a word for me this morning, because I've been talking to God about some things, and that was an answer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. And as we get ready to wrap it up, family, may I say to you all, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent more from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a wonderful and blessed day, family. God, glory to God, I can see. I can just say, God, Lord, I can see, because I can feel you. I know you gave me sight. I know you love me. So thank God today for his love. Thank God for his glory. Thank God you can see. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Find the Bible Believing Bible Teaching Church. And if they don't open the Word of God, pack up your word and walk out. Because if they can't preach from God's word, then they're not coming from God. We got to make sure we go to Bible Believing and Bible Teaching Words to churches to teach the word. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to church because I got to go to work. Have a blessed day, family. It is a good day to give God glory, honor, and hallelujah praise. It's a wrap. Join me tomorrow morning, God willing, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's a wrap.